got six pairs of readers in our house now. Yep. If we can do anything about that, that'd be great. Okay, so Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can look into your word today. And God, I do pray that you will help me to be a workman approved that correctly handles the word of truth. God, I pray that each of us would open our hearts for what you have, that we would grasp on to the things that you're teaching us, and they wouldn't just be knowledge. God, I don't want to just teach the Bible. I want to impart your word. When we talk about your word, we're talking about your son, God. So what we're doing is I'm speaking of your son, and we are hearing of your son, and we need him more than anything else. So, Lord, would you work in each of us today and do your will? We want your will done in us, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's no opportunity for boasting. I have discovered recently something that I'm very good at. Well, Cindy's surprised that there's something I'm good at. I am really, really good at getting food on myself. I am spectacular at it. I can hardly leave a meal that there is not something on me, right? It's just, I'm really talented. If there were things to boast about, if there were a contest, I could boast that I am spectacular at getting food on myself. That's the level to which I could boast, right? The Bible tells us boasting is excluded. There's no opportunity for boasting in this equation. If we were under the law, right, and there was an accounting system in place where we could go and see how we're doing, right? When grades come out at the end of every semester, everybody's crowded around the little list. What did I get? What did I get? What did I get? Is it better than him? Right? Is it better than her? If there was some accounting system for us to go and see how we're doing compared to others, we could always find somebody lower in the column, right? I mean, unless you're the lowest, and then I'm sorry. But we could always find somebody that we've done a little bit better than in the accounting system. But Paul says there's no opportunity for boasting here. It's excluded. Not excluded by the law, because again, if we're under the law, we've got some measuring rod that we can each go to and see, I'm, you know, kind of good there. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, what does the law say? And he said, these are the things that the law says. And he said, I've done all these from my youth. And Jesus said, go sell your possessions and come follow me. And the man went away sad because he wasn't willing to go further than, he wasn't willing to go as far as the law, Jesus, the perfect law, called him to go, right? If we had the law there and we could all measure ourselves, we'd have a measuring stick, we'd have a ruler, we'd have a plumb line, but it's not the law that excludes boasting, right? Because even in the, right? So we could measure ourselves on that. Well, how much have I boasted? Well, not as much as you. I can only get food on myself. You said you were better at something. So the law itself gives room to measure one another on boasting, on pride. So what is it excluded by? It's excluded by faith. We can't exclude it because of the law. We have to exclude it by faith. Verse 28 says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Justified, again, declared righteous by God. By what? Not by your actions, but by whom? By God. No measurement here. All of our boasting is excluded. It doesn't fit in. Verse 31, he says, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So in our New Testament mindset, I think it's very easy to go, establish the law. No. That's done. Law is done. We're not under the law anymore. Let's move past that. I will say this at least once, and I hope to reiterate it and say it again as I go along here. I am not calling anybody to go back to following all of the Mosaic law and the things that I'm going to share going forward here. I am not suggesting that you try to keep the Sabbath and that you're in trouble if you don't. I'm not suggesting that you have to give a tenth and that if you don't, you're in trouble. I'm not suggesting any of those things. But Paul here says we establish the law by what we're saying. And I think we are very, very quick to throw out the law. Because in our mindset, we go, law bad. Law bad, couldn't do it, so the law is bad. Now, I think there's multiple reasons that Paul makes this statement. One, he is writing to the church in Rome, and the church consists of Gentiles and Jews. And this idea of not following the law, of throwing out the law, of teaching against the law, created big problems within the church, within the Jewish population in particular, and those Jews that had converted to Christianity were still trying to share with their friends and family that were Jews. So this issue of doing away with the law was not helpful in that. And so Paul says, we're not making the law void through our faith. We are establishing the law through our faith. So that's one reason, I think. He had been accused multiple times of doing away with law. When he was in Jerusalem, he was accused of bringing Gentiles into portions of the temple where they didn't belong. This was the big charge against him in the whole community. And he says, this is not what we're doing. We're establishing the law. We're not throwing it out. We're not teaching against the law. And I think the second reason that he says it is to help us remember the value of the law. There is a value in the law. Again, I'm not saying you have to keep the Sabbath. I'm not saying you have to give a tenth. I'm not saying all of the things that the law says and that you are under the law, but there is a value in the law that is there that we do ourselves and others a disservice when we go, the law. That's to be put away. That's old. That's not to be looked at. That's not to be understood. That's not right. We love being justified by faith. And we joke about the law. Oh, yeah, you know, you'll do fine till you get to Leviticus. You start reading at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis, that's pretty exciting. Exodus, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. We go through the Red Sea. We got a golden calf. There's thunderings and lightnings on mountain. Oh, my goodness. Leviticus, oof, that's kind of weird. You know, let me skip that. Let me go past that. We boldly proclaim that we're not under it. And it's true that we're not under it. And it's great. And don't worry about your phone. It's okay. There we go. But we make a grave mistake to not see the value of the law and to avoid it or not to give it attention as antiquated or out of date or not applicable. As we go further into the book of Romans, we'll see more value in the law. Paul will talk about more things in the law that are valuable for us. But the fact is, it is the word of God, and it is there for our benefit. It is it is established by faith, right? It's not just, oh, you know, it's still there and it's kind of cool. It's established. And if something is established, shouldn't we give it our attention? If something is established by our faith that gets us into the righteousness apart from the law, if another action of that faith is to establish the law, shouldn't it get some of our attention? Shouldn't it be something that we delve into and understand and know? It's the word of God, and it's there for our benefit. You know, we've talked about, at least I've talked about, how you have the law, capital L, law. And again, Greek doesn't have upper and low. The Greek of the New Testament is all in uppercase letters, so I know I'm adding this. Uppercase L, law, God's law, and then man's law. Everything else, every other system, every other belief system, every other morality code, everything else that exists is a lowercase L, because it's an amalgamation of what people have made over time. It's a, you know, oh, that's a great saying. That's super wise. That looks good on the back of a napkin, you know, and it resonates with me. Therefore, I'm going to incorporate that into my lowercase L law. And we have these two things. But remember, the law, uppercase L, I don't know, how does that look for you guys? This way? Right, it's this way for me. We know where that comes from, right? What advantage is there to the law? We know where it comes from. That comes from God. And every other thing, every other, not saying you can't read self-help books, not saying you can't, that you shouldn't go to therapy. I'm not saying any of those things. But I am saying there is one place that we can go to for help that we know where it comes from. And everything else, we're really not quite sure. Please silence your phones. It's not you again, Abby. Somebody else. I don't care if you silence your phones or not. There is great value. So for the sake of Kim and her judgmental streak, would you please silence your phone or at least apologize to her later? So we know where it comes from. Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus says to the Pharisees and the scribes, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So all their herbs, they grew their herb gardens and their mint and their anise and their cumin. They took 10% of all of those things and they gave it, but they neglected the weightier matters, justice, mercy, and faith. These are the things that the law of God speaks to. These are the things that it is important for us to pay attention to know and to understand and not just gloss over as something that has no value anymore, something that's not for us because we're of the new covenant. God's got stuff for us everywhere. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, so Matthew 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's gone through the Beatitudes, and he's going to say a whole bunch more in this sermon. One of the things he says to them is, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away," that's important, remember that, "not one jot or one tittle the little marks that happen over the letters, the tilde that Rick couldn't remember, and the umlaut in German that somebody else referenced, all those little things that add significance or pronunciation instruction to words, not one of those things will pass away, will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Somebody that teaches and does the things in the law could be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And we, in our desire to do away with the law, would say, you don't need to follow that, bro. That's not for you. I understand people can be confused, and I will say it again. I am not calling you to follow the law. But Jesus says, the person that does these things and teaches these things, he will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not that puts people under these things, but that does these things and teaches these things. How much different is that than the mindset that we have cultivated about the law? For I say to you, verse 20, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So this one always threw me until last time I spoke. Then I got it. This one always threw me, right? Oh my gosh. I got to do all the, they did everything. The weightier matters that could, the things that you could kind of move around, right? Well, I'm being just. I'm being merciful to some extent. But the holding to the letter of the law, which I can't do, my righteousness has to be greater than these guys? Well, I'm lost. I can't do that. I can't live up to that. Heaven and earth have not yet passed away. All is not fulfilled, right? We still got heaven and earth. It will pass away, and we know that it will pass away because that's in the book too. And all will be fulfilled, but it's not yet. But now we have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, a righteousness defined by God. So I'm no longer confused about this. I have a righteousness that exceeds theirs. It doesn't mean that I can say this stuff in the law is useless. That's not to my advantage to do that. It's not to any of our advantage to do that, to ignore that. It's not to our advantage to put ourselves under it either. And it's certainly not to anybody's advantage for us to put them under it. But it's really important stuff. And it's good to know, just as all of the rest of the Word of God is. So now we have that righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. The law has a place until all things are fulfilled. So let's let it have a place in our lives. Let's stop being dismissive. Not under, but understanding of what God has for us in the law. Knowing and actively seeking out God's face about his law, because in it, as in all the Word of God, we find Jesus. Amen. So let's go on to Romans chapter 4, and this is where things may get sketchy, because this is where my notes end, because that's as far as I had to write stuff down. So now I teach extemporaneously, a nice big word for on the fly, yeah. hopefully not. So, or we could, I leave it up to you. I will not try to hold you here. So, moving on into Romans 4, this is the other thought that I had that I was not able to get to last time that I spoke. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then verses 23 through 25. What shall we say? What then shall we say? that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And then verses 23 through 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone to Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So Abraham, when I think about Abraham, Abram becoming Abraham, he's called from Ur, and I see a journey of faith for Abram, right? Rick talked about last week, he got kind of halfway to where God wanted him to go, and he stopped for a while. He brought some of his family, which God had said, leave your family, leave your place and leave your family. And then he moves on after that. But I've always been impressed, like, that Abram actually moved, right? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to leave anywhere. He did begin stepping out in faith. And so, according to the law of works, I would often measure myself against Abram, right? Well, he's pretty good, you know. I'm a little more tentative than Abram is about what God asked me to do. And he's the father of faith, so he must be really, really good, Abram. And so I could never live up to Abram. And it talks about how Abram, if he was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Again, this idea, we could compare ourselves to Abram all day long, and we could say, and I think that the scribes and Pharisees did, oh, whatever God has called me to do, I have done. Since my youth, I have done all of these things. And so they've got something to boast about, but not before God. Not before God. There's no opportunity, there's no place for us to stand before him and say, Lord, I've done this, therefore I deserve. And Rick's talked about that in the past. But because there's no place for that, we stand firmly because we're also not being judged in that way. There's a different judgment that is happening to us. And he talks about how it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then he uses the word imputed. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Accounted, imputed. This is all the same word, by the way, in the Greek. But for some reason in the translation, it's a different word. And I'm grateful that it's a different word because it gives me a chance to give an example. Imputed, in accounting, there is a term imputed income. Nobody else may understand this but Tina and I, but there's imputed income, right? So when you get your, I have to look at a lot of pay stubs in my job, and there's, you'll see a lot of times LTD, which stands for long-term disability, and a little number there, and it's within your earnings section. And you go, I don't know what that is. What is that? Long-term disability. It's what's called imputed income. And imputed income comes from, it's something you don't pay for. It's a fringe benefit. Your company pays for it for you, but if they don't tax you for the value of it, then if you get the benefit, you'll get taxed on the benefit. And the benefit's worth much more than the value of the imputed income. So let's think about it this way. Let's say, I'm going to say $100,000 because the math is easier with $100,000. Use nice round numbers, all right? Let's say you make $100,000 and your company is giving you a benefit of 60% of your salary for long-term disability, All right. So 60% of that would be $60,000 or $5,000 a month in a benefit. Then they impute the value $10 per pay period. So if you get paid every other week, that's 26 pay periods or $260 over the year. So a benefit potentially of $5,000 a month is costing $260, but you're not even paying $260. You're only paying taxes on the value of the $260. So depending on where you are in the tax brackets, that could be 10% or 12% or 22% or 24% or 28%, et cetera. Those are all the marginal tax brackets, which, just so you know, are going to probably change in 2025. But that's all right. We'll get there when we get there. So that $260, if you are in the 10% tax bracket, actually costs you $2.60. In taxes, the $5,000 benefit, and generally those employer-provided benefits. Why does it cost them so little, right? Why is the premium so little on their side? Because they negotiate with these companies, and because of their scale, it will cost you more to get a policy like that in your own name. So the value, the generally the length of time that would that benefit would be provided to you would be to age 65. So let's say you're 45 and you get 20 years worth of $60,000 a year. That's $1.2 million. That's the value of that potential benefit to you. Now you've got to become disabled and nobody wants that. So nobody really wants all of our insurances we would prefer not to use, right? I mean, if we're honest, no thank you. I'd rather be healthy. I'd rather my house not burn down. I'd rather not be in an auto accident. I could say life insurance, I'm all in, right? If I get to go to heaven sooner, fantastic. And then Mary's got some money to take care of stuff. So life insurance, I'm in on. The rest of it, I'm not so, I wouldn't like so much. So this $1.2 million benefit, if you're in the 10% tax bracket, is costing you $2.60 a year. That's imputed income, right? That's the value of it being imputed. A very, very, very small cost for a very, very, very big benefit. Righteousness is imputed to us at a very, very small cost of our faith for a very, very, very big benefit. This righteousness that was imputed to Abram. David says in verse 8, David says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." So the imputing is, think of the value, if I can say it that way, of our sin being held against us. Think of how long it would take you to claw yourself out of that hole. So God does the exact opposite. He doesn't impute the value of that. He gives us a benefit that comparatively costs us little. Now, sometime I'm going to talk about this, but it's not going to be today. There is a cost. There is a cost, and we should be aware of it. And so Abram at this point has this righteousness imputed to him. But this is long before Abraham goes to Mount Moriah with his son Isaac, right? So this faith that was imputed to him as righteousness is a measure of faith that Abram had at that point. And we see that his faith grows over time. And there's a cost to the growth of our faith, and there's a huge benefit as well. But this is the journey that the Lord has called us on. I have given you great benefit, if I could say, if I could speak as though I were the Lord, at a very limited cost to you, but at great cost to myself. And I'm calling you to grow more in that faith. And I think it's all because he wants to impute more to us. He wants to deliver more. The growth in our faith brings more and more value to us, more and more wealth over time. And that's what God is calling us to. So we're going to have a time of communion. Gail and Alex are going to come back up. Alex is such a blessing. He wasn't, Rick was supposed to play lead guitar today, and Alex, English is not his first language. And so he's looking at the sheet, trying to figure out where we are and find the notes. And brother, I just appreciate so much that you're helping us today. So let me take this one. We're going to do, we're going to sing some songs, and I would say the tables are open for you to come up at any time as we're singing these songs.